What is happening, everybody? Welcome to episode number 17 of the Bards of Gaming podcast, where this week we're going to be discussing the Talos Principle in another spontaneous solo episode. I apologize for anybody who might have been expecting Yakuza, which was originally on the board, but unfortunately some personal issue, family issues came up with my partner who was going to be recording with me, and not going to go into any details about it. It's not my business, but I just want to say I wish him well and hope that we can get that episode out soon. So, you know, my thoughts to him. But I also, if I sound exhausted, it is because I am. I literally just woke up and I just got over having a migraine. My allergies are absolutely killing me this week. So we're gonna wing it and make the best of this because I really wanted to get some content out on time. And I sat here for a little while thinking, like racking my brain, like what game could I cover? What game have I played enough recently enough to be able to cover? And I had a few options. I thought about doing Super Mario RPG, which I played a couple months ago after, like, right when it released. I don't know. I didn't really honestly feel like covering that one today. I thought about a couple other games. There was, I was thinking about doing Game Dev Tycoon, which I played a lot of years ago, but I would like to retouch, like, you know, my knowledge on that, touch it up to date, because I don't know if there's been any updates since I last played it or not. There was a few options out there, and I even thought about doing Resident Evil 4, but there's a couple people I would actually like to cover that with. So, sitting here trying to rack my brain, and then I thought of the Talos Principle, which I played, around New Year's. So, it was, I don't know, a few months ago, and had an absolutely great time with it, but definitely wanted to cover it, didn't get the chance yet, so that's what we're going to do today, because, well, it's my show, and we can. So, before we get into that, now that my bird just pooped on me, great, sorry, super professional, but, before we get into that, I want to just say a couple of quick announcements, as always. I kind of just talk about, you know, generally where things are at right now with the show. And I guess I'll just start off by saying, like, you know, I cannot believe, I mean, I can believe, but I just, it's crazy to wrap my head around that we've come so far. And at 16 episodes, which, you know, this makes 16, we're up to 700 listeners, total downloads for the show, and I'm absolutely elated about that. I really do appreciate everybody's support, and, you know, I can't thank you all enough for listening. So, you know, I just wanted to share some love and throw that out there, because I'm really, really grateful. I'm hoping to one day be able to do this for a living, because I really do enjoy making these episodes. It's a lot of fun, and I enjoy bringing you this content. And since I started doing this show back in August of 2023, I've been working towards, I guess, really figuring out what this show kind of is. I had a lot of inspiration, especially from Adam over at Remember the Game. I've talked about this before, but he was a massive inspiration for me to start doing this. And I've had multiple conversations with him. He's a really, really great guy. And if anybody is curious, you know, go check him out. He's on, like, every streaming platform. He's got, I think, the number one gaming podcast in Australia and Canada. It's phenomenal. He's an absolutely fantastic guy. I love his content, and I listen to his show all the time. But I try to separate myself from him, obviously, but he was a massive inspiration for me to start this, and I've kind of been trying to figure out what my, you know, target content is. What kind of show do I really want to make? And originally it started as, yeah, I just want to sit here and talk about some games with some buddies of mine, and then it kind of, I don't know, I kind of have started having more fun with the review side of things, you know, and kind of breaking the games down a little bit without doing a whole lot of homework into them, you know. But I really enjoy, and I've always enjoyed talking video games with people and outside of the podcast and outside of, you know, everything that is my content creation, you know, even at work, my coworkers and I enjoy just talking video games, and I love trying to sell them on what to play next, or, you know, maybe what I'm playing at the moment. And I just enjoy trying to push the love of gaming onto others. You know, it's not to try to, you know, make them do what I like, but it's like, I just enjoy having this shared, you know, passion. So being able to recommend games to people, or being able to tell people, hey, maybe avoid this one because it kind of sucks. You know, that's always been something I've enjoyed doing. And that's I kind of think where this show is kind of veering towards, is more of a review platform. And I'm cool with that. You know, I like to, at the end of every episode, I've always enjoyed, you know, giving a rating. And I do give my honest opinions with them. I try to be very upfront and honest, like, you know, hey, if this game was a 10 out of 10, definitely go out and pick it up. It's kind of like a Michelin star, you know. It's like, if it's got, you know, a 4 out of 10, maybe it's worth looking into. If it's got a 6 out of 10, it's worth picking up on sale. If it's got an 8 out of 10, it's worth picking up. If it's 10 out of 10, you gotta play it. You know, I don't know. I'm just rambling now, but that's kind of where my show, I feel like, has turned towards, is more of a review platform. And I'm having a really great time making this content. So that's it for that. I just wanted to kind of, I don't know, give an update status of behind the podcast and kind of share what's been going through my head with this. But, you know, if anybody's curious as to what I've been playing lately, it's been not a whole lot. I mean, I've been jumping back and forth between a few things. Taking a break from World of Warcraft at the moment. I started playing SnowRunner, actually. I might actually stream some of that, because that's a pretty fun game, and I don't know how I haven't really gotten into that sooner. But SnowRunner is a pretty good time so far. I've been playing a bit of that. On top of that, I actually started getting back into Resident Evil 4 Remake, and that's been fun, as always. But I started getting into that because a buddy of mine and I started playing Resident Evil 5 co-op, and I gotta say, that game aged like milk. It did not age very well or very gracefully. It's still fun, but boy, there will be an episode coming out about that at some point. Hopefully with my friend who I'm playing it with, who's actually the same buddy I covered Uncharted with. So I recommend you go and give that episode a listen. I'm proud of that one. That one's a really good episode. But yeah, that's what I've been playing lately. And if you have any interest in hearing more, or, you know, checking us out more, or maybe keeping up with what's going on as I update it, feel free to please, you know, follow me, give me a like, give me a follow, rate the show, whatever. And, follow me over on Instagram, which is where I'm definitely most active. You can find me there at TheBardsOfGaming, or you can find me on Twitter or X, where I really am trying my best to get more active. And you can find me there at TwoBardsOfGaming with the number 2. You can find links to all my socials as well as my email if you want to reach out to me, send me a message at TheBardsOfGamingPodcast.com. So that being said, I'm going to play some music and then we're going to get into the episode. See you there. So I guess to just jump right into things, like I said in the intro, this week we are covering the Talos Principle, the first one from originally December of 2014. Nowadays, it is available pretty much everywhere. You can get it on PC, you can get it on PlayStation, which is actually where I played this time, Xbox, like every Xbox console at this point, I believe, and Nintendo Switch. So, as well as the DLC, you can also pick up on every platform. There's been some funny history with me in this game, actually, because originally I played this game, oh man, I want to say back in like 2016, and I've tried a few times to play this game because I love puzzle games, I love Portal, I love games like that, and this game is really good. I'm just going to be honest up front with you, like, this game is really good. I don't have a lot of dislikes for this game. So It took me a few tries of getting into it to finally beat it. And I really don't know why. It's it's not incredibly long. It's not too hard. It's not too complicated. It can be, but we'll get into that. Yeah, so originally I tried this game around, I want to say 2016, and I got to, if you're familiar with this game, I got to the second hub world. And I just kind of stopped playing. And then a couple years later, I tried it again, I tried from the beginning, got to about the same exact point, and then stopped playing. And then I really haven't touched it for the last couple of years, and sorry everybody, my bird is, whenever I start talking, he likes to try to run around and just make noise and jump on my keyboard and stuff. But so if you hear any flapping, that's him getting rambunctious. So yeah, so this past, I don't know, a few months ago, I decided, I was a little bored, and I was like, what do I want to play? You know, I had some downtime. I think it was like winter break or something like that for me with college, and I had some extra time. I was like, what do I want to play? What's been on my bucket list? And I saw the Talos Principle. I think I picked it up for free on PlayStation or something like that. And I finally sat down, and in one weekend, I played all the way through it. Finally. And I had a blast. This is a really great game. So I guess to just jump right into things, I'll start by saying, you know, where I found this game originally. And it was on PC. I found this years ago. I think I picked it up on sale one day or something. It wasn't that expensive. And I like I said, I love puzzle games. It looked very enticing. The graphics are great. You know, it looked mysterious. It looked cool. And I really wanted to check it out. So, yeah, back in like 2016, whatever, I picked it up on PC. And that's where my multiple playthroughs of this game began. So to just jump right into the gameplay of it and the actual review talk, again, I don't have a lot of bad things to say about this game. If you've never played this game, or if you've been hesitant to pick it up and you enjoy puzzle games, do it. I don't know if you can find it for free anywhere. I actually didn't do this kind of research. It might be on Game Pass, or it might be on PlayStation Plus at this point. It's kind of old. I wouldn't be surprised if it's on one of them. But especially with the second one having just come out, I would imagine them wanting to push the first one out there to get people to, you know, check it out. So the first game, the only dislike that I wrote, which isn't really much of a dislike, is there's a lot of optional reading. There's this game is kind of broken down into, like, I'm trying to figure out how to describe this exactly, but you have to discover a lot of the story for yourself. It's a very mysterious game, and you are essentially a robot in what seems like a simulation. And all throughout the world, scattered throughout the world, are these or multiple worlds, I should say, there are these terminals, these computers, and as you go up to them, there's different options for you to interact with, and there's that ends up actually uncovering a whole slew of story if you really continuously interact with them. But you know, there's message logs you can read, which kind of gives you backstory of what's going on in this world, this very mysterious simulation world, as well as there also ends up being a sort of AI that you can talk to. And I've seen videos after the fact of this game, and it's got a lot of religious undertones, and that's neither a like nor dislike. It's very interesting to me. That kind of, you know, it's think of it like the story of Adam and Eve. I've heard it broken down into. It's kind of like a retelling of the old, you know, biblical story of Adam and Eve, where you are this person in this new world, in this, you know, it seems like paradise. It's just this world that's you're the only inhabitant of. It seems just too perfect. And there's this voice, this God character, and he is constantly trying to, you know, encourage you to solve the puzzles and explore the world. This world is created solely for you. It's your domain. He says there's only one rule, and it's do not enter the tower. So what he means by that is, again, if you're unfamiliar with this game, I'll just explain it. There is one major overworld. And it's like in Antarctica or something like that. That's kind of the setting of it. It's like in the middle of this desolate Arctic wasteland. And there's three large buildings of different themes. One of them is kind of like, think of like ancient Greece, the Pantheon. It kind of looks like that. And then you have one that's kind of more Egyptian, and then one that's, I forget what the other one is. But those three buildings are your primary hub world. Oh, one is kind of like a Gothic, like European church from, you know, whatever. And so those are your three main hub world locations. And they are all sitting in this desolate wasteland. And then as you step outside of each one of those buildings, there's this looming, very mysterious, dark, lightning, you know, storm clouds surrounding it tower that sticks straight up out of the ground. It's impossible to miss. If you walk outside of the building from going from one building to the other, it is literally impossible to miss. And it, obviously, it's very enticing. You want to explore it. You want to see the mystery behind this tower. Why doesn't he want me to go up there? Why doesn't he want me to, you know, experience whatever's up there? And so as you begin your gameplay, you start out in the ancient Greece kind of Pantheon overworld, and I forget, there's like seven portals, I believe, that you can step into, seven doorways that you can step into at your will. You can go straight into number seven, I believe, if you want, and you start solving puzzles of gradually increasing difficulty in each one of these worlds. Each doorway teleports you to another, you know, simulation of this world where you just solve puzzles. And you get, from each of these puzzles that you solve, you receive like these puzzle pieces. Think of like Tetris pieces, and different colors represent different things that you use them for. So I believe it is the green ones that you get unlock doors. I'm trying to remember exactly. I believe it's the green ones that you receive unlock the next areas that the voice, you know, this overlooming god wants you to go to. The yellow ones, they unlock the next special tools, items, or, you know, abilities, I guess. And then the red ones, those are the very, very hard puzzles. I should have said this a minute ago. Each color that you see as you enter a puzzle area represents the difficulty of that puzzle. Green is easy, yellow is normal, red is hard. So there are more colors, and I'll get into that a little later. But the red ones indicate the puzzles that you, or the pieces that you need to use to unlock the next floor and doors in the mysterious tower. So as you explore each of these areas, each doorway in each hub world has another computer, another terminal that you can use to speak with this other AI, as well as read more message logs and kind of uncover more of the story of what's going on. And so to get back to, you know, these biblical undertones, this game, if you're familiar with the story of Adam and Eve, and I might butcher this because I'm not fluent in it, so don't get me wrong. You have this voice that's God, and he wants you to, you know, explore this world, explore, you know, certain things, enjoy your time in this world that is created for you. It is Eden. It is your, you know, perfect world, but you have one rule, and do not break that rule. But at the same time, in this terminal, you have this voice, this other, you know, AI, NPC kind of character speaking to you that you don't know who it is. You can't see him. You can't hear him. But there's this thing that's talking to you. And that's very symbolic of, you know, the devil snake from the Adam and Eve story, trying to get you to, you know, explore the tower, trying to get you to do exactly what the God character does not want you to do. So it's very interesting in that regard. It's a lot of back and forth. It's a lot of mystery, and it's very fun to uncover the mystery. But as you do these puzzles and as you go through this world, I'm just going to start peppering in the things I like about this game as I talk and kind of break down the game. The one thing that I got to say I absolutely love about this game is the atmosphere. It's so, even for a game that came out in 2014, it is so visually just beautiful. It really is. It's the music that they use to, you know, invoke this kind of feeling of paradise in the beginning. And then, you know, in certain areas, you get this more mysterious kind of like, like a church organ, you know, when you get later into like the Gothic European castle, it's very like spooky, but at the same time, it's just the atmosphere of this game is incredible. And that's just one thing that was very compelling for me originally in my first playthrough and in each of my subsequent playthroughs, is I always wanted to see what would be next. And it was just very, you know, the mystery of the game kept compelling me to go forward. And I wanted to see what was at the top of the tower. So obviously, I'm sure you guys can tell what ending I went for. But it's the atmosphere of this game was incredible. The mystery of the tower was what compelled me forward. The puzzles were not all that difficult. There were optional puzzles that were extremely difficult. And it's actually really cool the way that they made some of them work. So I was only able to accomplish a couple of them, because on top of the puzzle pieces that you can unlock, there's also these stars, these like hidden stars, golden stars, scattered throughout the levels. And each hub world, each doorway has a sign on it that tells you what is left in that world and what you've found. It'll cross out, you know, the symbols on the sign once you found it. But it'll tell you, like, you know, what puzzle pieces are in here, how many of them there are, what color they are, and how many stars are in that world. So as you explore, you might see that, okay, I've just accomplished this difficult puzzle area, but now I see that there's this star hidden behind a gate that I have no idea how to get to. And you really, really have to think outside of the box in order to get to most of these stars. Some of them you can just walk up to. Some of them you jump over a wall. It's pretty obvious how to get to them. But most of them are a very challenging think outside of the box, interact with more of your environment. Literally, you have a puzzle that has to be solved by doing shit outside of each individual puzzle arena. I guess that's what I'm going to call them. So if you know, if you played the game, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But sometimes you have to have a laser go over like the entirety of the map to go into this receiver that you can barely see. And it's just like you'll have six puzzles in this doorway that, you know, you enter a doorway, now you're in this other hub world that you can freely roam around and explore and look for secrets. And within that hub world, there's six different, you know, arenas, areas that you have to solve this puzzle. And that number is hypothetical. It changes for each map. But you'll have all of those puzzles. And then outside of all of those puzzles, still in that hub world, you'll have a couple, one or two bigger puzzles that you now have to solve. And it gets crazy. The more you look for puzzles, the more you're going to find. So that, I think, is fantastic. And, you know, you can look up guides for all the stuff online if you want to get the achievements. But they're such well-made puzzles. It's almost impossible to try to break them. And, you know, as someone who's going to college for video game design and level design and stuff like that, it was incredible to me to see the level of care and the way that they so carefully crafted these levels so that you essentially cannot break them. You can't, you know, cheese your way around a wall or around a puzzle. There's sometimes more than one way to do things, but it's very difficult sometimes to break what they have crafted. And I think that's incredible. It's I know I keep saying that, but it was very, very impressive. The super difficult puzzles were just, I did a couple of them. And even after I did them, you know, I'm like, this, how did they think of this? It was so cool, so rewarding. I did not do all of the optional puzzles in the game. This is not a game that I went and completed. I beat it. I got one ending, and I was satisfied with that. But unfortunately, you know, with having such a busy work, school schedule, and this, I sometimes can't take the time to dedicate to full completion. But once you get the stars, there are additional rooms, additional gates that you can open in each main hub area. And they lead to an even more, like, I don't want to say secretive area, but it's like it brings you to this other world where now you have even more puzzles to solve. But if you begin to solve all of them, then I believe those puzzles are what reward you with, I forget exactly what the developers called it, but there's like a helper that you can unlock by freeing him from his tomb. And it was really cool. I think those puzzle colors, like the Tetris pieces you get from that, are like light blue and can only be used, you know, in that specific area. But very, very cool nonetheless. So, yeah, written on my likes list, I always take a little short notes list before I do these puzzles or these podcasts. I have Atmosphere, Mystery of the Tower. Puzzles are not too difficult, so to beat the game, they're not too crazy. Super difficult puzzles are optional. Incredible puzzle designs. I think I already touched on that quite a bit. They really are phenomenal. I'll probably try to do a breakdown of more what they can be. There are multiple interesting endings to this game. So I will touch more on that later because I don't want to... I'll put a little spoiler cast towards the end talking about what ending I decided to go with. But I guess to break down what the puzzles are, it's... They're really... I guess it wouldn't be wrong to say that you can see where this might have taken some inspiration from Portal with the turrets and, you know, the lasers and stuff like that. But except the lasers in this game don't hurt you. You can walk right through them. But you'll have... I'm not going to think of any puzzle specifically to talk about, but hypothetically, like, say you have... there's a lot of different tools, actually, that you can use. It's really cool. So, in the beginning, it's very easy. I think the first tool that you have to play with is this kind of, like, EMP device, which there's a lot of these, like, holographic walls, holographic gates, doors that you have to, you know, shut off somehow to get through. And this tool allows you to just kind of place it. You aim it right at the wall that you want to turn off. And you can aim it from, like, super far away. You can be on the complete other side of the map, and as long as you're aiming it at that gate, and it'll highlight to show, like, okay, this is what you want to turn off, you can turn off the gate from anywhere. And that's where some of the, you know, larger open world puzzles come into play, is you have to find higher ground to look down on the map, and you'll see that there's a gate, like, way over on the other side of the map, and you're like, huh, I can turn that off from, like, way over here. So you turn that off, and now you can go ahead and go through that door that you couldn't get through before. And sometimes you need to use that, and then also there's these, like, redirection node things where you'll see... They kind of look like the virus things from Jimmy Neutron, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. And there's, like a rotating crystal up on top. And so you take that, and you can actually... Like, there's these transmitters on the wall. I'm talking in like automatic door terms because that's what I do for a living. But so there's like these transmitters on the wall that shine a specific laser color. And then you'll see scattered throughout the map or throughout the puzzle area that there is that there's these receivers of the same color. And you have to try to find a way to get the laser to come from the transmitter around the map, around the puzzle area, to the receiver. And so this redirection node that you have, you're able to draw the laser out from the transmitter and then, you know, set your node on the ground and redirect it anywhere. And I mean, you have total control over where these lasers go. So, but it's very tricky. Sometimes you have to get it through a holographic gate and you have to figure out how to turn the gate off, and you have to, you know, sometimes you have to make the things float in order to reach over a wall and stuff like that. It's really interesting the way that they make these puzzles work. There's fans on the ground. You have to, You know, there's like these moving bombs that you have to avoid. There's turrets up on the wall. You have to EMP those things in order to sometimes walk in front of them. It's crazy the puzzles that they've designed. And when you're playing it, sometimes they don't seem all that difficult, but it's like I can't imagine being in the creative development room for this game, because the way that these guys designed these puzzles is just absolutely mind-blowing to me. And there's so many of them. It's incredible. And the way that they also use, you know, different forms of ancient architecture to not only express atmosphere, but also sometimes as a part of the puzzle. Like, I remember there's one part in the desert area where outside of all the puzzles, you know, all the puzzle areas, there's this obelisk, like, way out in the distance. Not, I mean, far enough away that you can walk to it, but not, you know, like, not super far, but whatever. So there's this, like, obelisk in the middle of the desert, and you feel like you're in Egypt. It's kind of like, I think there was, like, a Sphinx or whatever nearby. And so you walk around the back of this obelisk. You walk away, like, a pretty decent ways away from, you know, the active area. Like, you walk out here and you think maybe there's nothing out here. It's kind of like that far away. So you walk out there and you walk up to this obelisk and you see, oh, okay, wow, there's a receiver on it. There's a laser receiver on it. What the hell is that for? So you start walking around it, and then you see that there's like a cage on the back of it. And you're like, oh shit, like, I have to somehow find a way to get a signal transmitted out here and solve a puzzle that's not even part of the world. And I forget what the reward is for that. I wasn't able to solve it, but it was just the way that they make the world so interactive in so many different ways. It makes you want to explore the entirety of each hub world. And the way that they designed it, I can't give them enough praise for this. It was just, it's so much fun. It's so interesting. And sometimes you'll find multiple terminals. Sometimes you'll find like these hidden ghosts. You are in a simulation in this game. It's very obvious. Things, you know, digitally appear. There's glitches sometimes. It's very obvious you're in the simulation. And sometimes you'll find ghosts of previous robots in or previous characters and shit. It's really interesting the way that they designed it. But yeah, you are definitely compelled to explore, especially if you're interested in the story and you're interested in finding the rest of what this game has to offer. So that being said, yeah, it's really interesting the way that, you know, there's shit around every corner, pretty much. And beyond that, my mind is running blank. Again, I'm exhausted. But when you finally do decide to climb the tower, or if you decide to climb the tower, because you can play through this entire game by not even walking into the tower once. I don't understand how you could possibly do that, but you could decide to play through this entire game without even going in it. But to get to, like, you know, it, to start talking about the tower, if you decide to start climbing it and going against everything that this overarching god figure is telling you to do or telling you not to do, that's where some of the puzzles are more difficult for sure. And beyond the puzzles of, you know, whatever tools they give you to, you know, solve these puzzle arenas, each Tetris piece that you receive is for a reason. And you'll find these puzzles that are kind of like jigsaw puzzles, all over the place. You'll get them going into each new hub world. You'll get them unlocking each new tool, and you'll find them in the tower of varying difficulty. Because again, not only does the green, yellow, and red represent the difficulty of the puzzle you're trying to solve in the hub world arena, but it also determines the difficulty of the puzzle you have to solve, you know, with those Tetris pieces. It sounds like a lot. I'm sure I'm describing this poorly, but when you decide to start using those Tetris pieces to figure out the puzzle, that can get a little tricky. Sometimes it's real easy. Your goal is to fit every piece in a specific way, in a specific pattern, into a rectangle and, you know, have it be like a perfect rectangle. So you know, you'll have like these T pieces and these L-shaped pieces and these squares and all these different, you know, zigzag pieces, and you have to try to fit them all together in a jigsaw puzzle kind of sense to unlock whatever you're trying to unlock. And when you get to the tower, each subsequent floor as you go up has a more difficult jigsaw puzzle to enter the next floor. So then when you do eventually get into each floor, now is where you're going to start using all your combined knowledge of what you've learned puzzle solving from the hub worlds. Now you have to put it all together and solve the puzzles on each floor in the tower. So as you can assume, each floor gets increasingly difficult because now you're going to have to start combining, you know, all the things you've learned, all the tools you've learned to use, all the things that you've, you know, begun to experiment with in each hub world to get to this, to get through this room. And so you'll start out floor zero of the tower, let's say. You get in an elevator, you're able to instantly go up to floor number one. All the other floors are locked. And when you get to floor one, you explore it, you walk out, you explore it, you know, for a little bit, and then you find, okay, there's a wall here, there's a door with, you know, red Jenga piece or red Tetris piece puzzle. So you solve that, get into the room. Now you have a puzzle that's, again, like I just described, combination of knowledge of everything you've just learned. Get through that puzzle. Once you get through that puzzle, there is a computer terminal. That computer terminal on each floor, there's going to be one on each floor of the tower. And that's where you will unlock the elevator for the next floor, as well as now you're going to start to see some real information about kind of what's going on behind the scenes. What is this simulation? You're going to be able to read more text logs. And, you know, if you weren't keeping up with the optional readings that you could find in each hub world, that's okay. You don't need that to see what's going on in these terminals. And it's just really interesting the way that the story shakes out. It's kind of Souls-esque, where you kind of got to find the story for yourself to have a full understanding of it and what's going on. If you don't feel like reading it, just YouTube it. There's so many breakdowns of the story. It's really interesting. It's very, very interesting. And I like the story a lot, but I did not have the time to sit there, time and patience to sit there and read every text log. But if you do, more power to you. But this is where I'm going to start getting kind of into like spoiler territory. Because I'm going to start talking about what happens when you get to the top of the tower. And I'm going to start that right now. So when you get to the top of the tower, as you've played the game up until this point, you've heard of different, you might have read about, you know, different previous simulation characters, different, you know, past lives, I guess you could say. And when you get to the top of the tower, now is this gauntlet challenge. You have a time limit because, and you have to now, like now it's where you're going to have to challenge yourself. You're being challenged to combine literally everything that you have learned up until this point. And now it's even more difficult because you have to try to solve puzzles with the help of these other characters that were locked away at the top of the tower. So the couple characters that you heard, the sheep and the shepherd I think the shepherd was one. I forget what the other one was. But they were apparently these robots that they decided to try to climb the tower and escape. And like, you know, they bit the apple and they got punished and they were locked away at the top of this tower. So you get to the top, and well, I'll start by saying when you're at the bottom of the tower looking up, you see that the whole top of the tower is enshrouded by this thunderstorm, this wicked, wicked electrical storm. And obviously it's meant to scare you away from climbing it, but once you get to the top of the tower, now you realize you're above it. Okay, cool. So you're on a time limit because once you're at the top of the tower and they discover you're at the top, or this you know, God character discovers you're at the top of the tower, the lightning storm starts rising and its goal is to, defeat you. So you are now on a time limit to accomplish every task. I don't know how long you have. You have like 5-10 minutes, but there's multiple floors now to this. You know, you're climbing your way out, essentially, of the Garden of Eden. You're forcing your way out of this prison, and with the help of these two companions that you've freed from their cages, from their prisons. So it was really, really cool the way that they you know, made this gauntlet puzzle challenge at the end of the game at the top of the tower. And it's very rewarding, I feel, when you finally complete it. It's you reach I don't even know what the term is for it. But you reach heaven. You literally, like, as once you complete this, you walk up and you got the golden gates right ahead of you. You got the pearly gates. Like, you have ascended. And there's a whole, you know, dialogue from this god character, and he's saying, you know, you were always meant to defy me. And you find one more terminal, one last terminal up at the top of this tower, and it looks different from every other terminal you've found so far. And this terminal is essentially to wake you up. It's to, you know, get you out of the Matrix. And it's got a really cool ending. I'm not gonna, you know, go into all this detail about what the ending is. I highly recommend that you pick this game up or try to find a way to play it if you enjoy puzzle games and experience it for yourself. There's multiple different endings. I think there's like 4 different endings to the main game. And there's so much content I didn't cover, because like more puzzles, more special areas. And there's a whole DLC to this game that I really didn't play. I started it. And the DLC is cool because it's kind of like, once you free yourself from the tower and you free yourself from that world, there's a whole cutscene where the whole simulation crumbles. This whole, you know, Garden of Eden, this whole world that you've now familiarized yourself with the past 20 hours is crumbling. And, you know, you've killed off this AI or what, I don't know. But the DLC is essentially you going back into the simulation, or you waking up as a different character set to find closure, I guess, and to finish, I don't know if it's rebuilding the simulation. Again, I didn't finish it, but it's cool. You get to go back in, and the way that they bring it back is interesting. But that's pretty much the game. And there's a lot I didn't cover, but there's a lot I didn't experience myself. So I highly recommend you check it out yourself. I will slap a rating on this. As always, like as I said in the intro, you know, this really has become more of a review platform for me, and I really try to get, you know, other people in here to give their you know, reviews and opinions. And so to give this game a rating, it's not a perfect game. There's not a lot of games out there that I could call a perfect game. This game is really, really good. Don't get me wrong. It is really good. It's going to get a high rating. And I decided to rate it out of how many floors of the tower there are, technically. And so I put 6 floors, because that's what Google told me there were, and I don't remember exactly. And so out of 6 floors, I'm going to give this game a 5.5, which I think, you know, rounds out to like a 92 on a scale from 0 to 100. This game is really good. And if you enjoy puzzle games, if you're a fan of the Portal games, if you're a fan of mystery puzzle games like that, I really gotta recommend you check this out. This was a very, very good game. It's very well made. It plays real, real smoothly. The controls are tight. You know, the platforming is pretty, you know, it's pretty good. And the puzzles are just rewarding. It's so much fun. And especially if you're, you know, if you like the story of Adam and Eve, you can definitely see how that is super influential in this game. I really cannot wait to pick or to start Talos Principle 2, which is out now. I have it. I purchased it. I just haven't gotten around to playing it yet. I need to give my brain a break between puzzle games like this, but they're so good. And Like if this were, you know, if I were giving out Michelin stars for video games, I would give this one a 3. Go out of your way to pick this one up. It's so much fun. And that being said, that's my review of The Talos Principle. It's a very good game. I know I stumbled a lot. I repeated myself a lot, but I mean it. I mean what I say. These very, very good game. You know, props to the developers. They made a phenomenal puzzle game. So yeah, to close things out, jeez. Yeah, I apologize for this episode being so last minute and frazzled and so just all over the place. This was a last minute, you know, I decided what to cover 5 seconds before recording this episode. It's just like, I had to throw it together. You know, thoughts and prayers are with my friend who's going to cover Yakuza with me soon enough. But if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoyed listening to it, I would very much appreciate any support. You know, give me a rating wherever you're listening from. If it's on Spotify, I'm trying to get to 10 reviews. So far, I've got a rating of a perfect 5. I would like to keep it that way. But please, just, you know, give me a rating, give me some love, give me, you know, your honest opinion. If you don't like the show, let me know. Let me know how I can improve. See how, you know, if you have any games that you would like for me to cover on the show. You know, send me any messages. I'd love to hear from you. I say this every couple of weeks. I would absolutely love to hear from you. I respond to everybody. You know, if you send me a message, or, you know, I'll try to get you a shout out on the show. I'm a little forgetful when I start to record these things because I get nervous to have dead air and I get very like in my own head, but that's just something that I got to improve with as the content creator. So, yeah, I mean, if you'd like to reach out to me, you can find me on Instagram at TheBardsOfGaming or on Twitter or X at @2BardsOfGaming with the number 2. You can find links to all my social medias as well as my email if you'd like to send me an email over at TheBardsOfGamingPodcast.com, where you can also find links to, you know, previous episodes on Spotify and any merch. I am still selling merch. It's over there. I haven't been pushing it a lot because I started selling merch specifically for the purpose of having something for myself to wear to PAX. If you buy it, I really appreciate you. I don't get much from it. I like the idea of having different things out there that can spread the word of the podcast. So I'm trying to just, you know, spread awareness that, hey, I'm out here. I'm trying to make something of it. And, you know, if I end up seeing anybody wear my t-shirts, or if you happen to get one and you happen to wear it, send me a picture. I'd love to see it. I'll share it myself. I'll put it on my story and share the love. If you have a sticker, if you happen to pick up a sticker, I have a lot of them floating around out there. I gave some to a buddy of mine, a couple buddies of mine, and they've been handing them out. But if you have a sticker and you happen to listen to the show, send me a picture of it. Send me a picture of where you put it, and I'll share it on my story. But yeah, that's about it for me. I had a really great time covering this game, and I hope you enjoyed listening to it. And I will see you again in a couple of weeks. Thank you.